Welcome to Table Flippers Podcast. Table Flippers is an outreach of Greater Works Christian Church here in Lancaster, California. I am your host, Robert Enos, along with Chippy the Chipmunk.
If it wasn't for me, no one would listen to this show. It's all about Chippy.
Get ready to be challenged, to be confronted with truth and reality, and get ready for a revolution. It's found at Table Flippers.
Oh, boy. Here we go again. I'm moving to Washington, D.C. because there's...
Yes, this is take two. I just went and I just stood in front of this mic and I was giving my whole passion and my whole heart for about 30 minutes and then it just hit me. Wait a minute, what are you doing? Back off and do this again. So this is Robert Enos, your host of Table Flippers Podcast. It is Friday, May 17th, and it's almost 3 o'clock. And this is take two. I went on a personal rant, ladies and gentlemen, of a frustration that I'm dealing with. And I got into it. I was bringing it around politically even, but I was something that I'm dealing with on a personal level here at the church. And I was venting. And then I realized, you know what? Nah, I don't want to do that. Why, ladies and gentlemen? Because my listeners, I love each and every one of you. Yes, you heard it right here. I love each and every one of you. And I don't want to spew nonsense on you. You don't need to carry my griefs. You don't need to carry my burdens. You don't need to be slimed with the same slime that I've been slimed with. So let's unslime ourselves together. I hope that sounded cool. Anyways, let's go on. I want to read something to you. This time, not so much an article, but from a book. And this book is Politics According to the Bible, a comprehensive resource for understanding modern political issues in light of Scripture. This is by a gentleman, Wayne Grudem, G-R-U-D-E-M. And I'm going to read to you from, well, this is quite a book. It's written like a textbook. So this is going to be part one from Basic Principles. Chapter 2, Section J. And Section J is broke up into Part 1 and Part 2. So I'm going to read probably both because it's only a page and a half. But I think I'm going to comment on it as I go. So it says, I believe that every Christian citizen who lives in a democracy has at the very least a minimal obligation to be well informed and to vote for candidates and policies that are most consistent with biblical principles. The opportunity to help select the kind of government we will have is a stewardship that God entrusts to citizens in a democracy, a stewardship that we should not neglect or fail to appreciate. That at least means that Christians are responsible to learn enough about the important issues to be able to vote intelligently. Now, that was from the first paragraph. The second paragraph in this is more of a little infomercial, but nonetheless, I'll read it. One good way to become better informed is to discuss some key political issues in a church small group. A helpful new resource for this, including quotations of key Bible passages, statements from well-known political leaders of the past and present, and questions for discussion, is a book by Hugh Hewitt, The Good and Faithful Servant, a small group study on political and government for Christians. Hugh Hewitt is spelled H-U-G-H, that's Hugh, and Hewitt, H-E-W-I-T-T, A Good and Faithful Servant, a small group study on political and government for Christians. So let me get on with this. So from the very first paragraph, it opens up, I believe every Christian citizen who lives in a democracy has at the very least a minimal obligation to be well informed and to vote for candidates and policies that are most consistent with biblical principles. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have followed me any length of time, you'll understand one of my biggest frustrations with the Christian church is what this is alluding to. Christians voting for things, you know, it's almost, it's not comical because we're living it, and yet it's comical when you just can stand back, detach yourself from it, and watch it as if you're watching it on a screen. Okay, so we live in a country that was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, founded on the very word of God. I know that's not taught in our schools, but the schools have gotten so far away from God that they don't want to admit it, but it is true. If you look at our founding documents, they're all saturated in and with the Word of God. So was this a Christian nation? By virtue of that, yes. Is it still supposed to be? Most indubitably, it is supposed to be a Christian nation. But that's for another discussion, or maybe later in this discussion. But we are at least supposed to be living by, adhering to, and delving into the Christian Judeo values as written in God's Holy Bible, okay? All of those do this and don't do that, that's very important for us as a people, or it should be. It's what made our nation great, and our greatness is eroding away because we keep getting away from God and God's word. So anyways, it says this. He writes this, "I believe every Christian citizen who lives in a democracy has at the very least a minimal obligation to be well-informed." So ladies and gentlemen, each and every one of us should be well-informed, well-informed, well-informed on the issues and the policies and who's running and what they're doing in office. And it says minimal, and I agree with that. You don't need to be a political junkie or a news junkie, just somebody that takes a few minutes, every week, maybe a half hour every week. Who's running? What are they doing? What are their policies? How do they line up with the Word of God? Okay? And it goes on to well-informed. And vote for candidates' policies that are most consistent with biblical principles. Again, this is where my frustration lies, or one of my frustrations lies with the modern church. Number one, the modern church is not well-informed, especially on politics. They're not even well-informed on religious things. I couldn't tell you how many times I've talked to Christians. How long have you been saying, "Oh, but I've been in the same church 30 years. And they don't know anything. They don't know anything. Anyways, I don't want to get off on that just yet. But it says now, and vote for candidates and policies that are most consistent with biblical principles. If Christian don't even know what those Christian principles are, they will never vote for the right people. They will make the wrong decisions. This is what I've heard come out many Christians' mouth who vote. At least they vote, but they're voting. You vote? Yeah. Who'd you vote for? Oh, I just voted for so-and-so. Why'd you vote for that person? That's because what my mom votes. And it's usually like this. We're a family of Democrats. We vote Democrat no matter what. Do you even know what they stand for? No. Do you know what their policies are? No. Do you know what their background is? No. Have you ever even heard any of their speeches? Nah. Just a clip here and there on Instagram. Oh, so why do you vote for them again? Well, that's what my whole family votes for them, starting with my grandma. Oh, okay. So do you think the Democrats of your grandma's era is the same as the Democrats of today? Well, yeah, they're Democrats. Oy. That, ladies and gentlemen, is so frustrating to me. And it's usually, I don't know why, it's usually more liberal-minded people, Democrats, than it is Republicans. However, I've heard some of Republicans say the same thing. Oh, yeah, we're just a Republican family, and I vote Republican no matter what. Okay. All right. Okay. Do you even know what they stand for? No. Or here's something that's even worse. Okay. Here's something so much worse. Yeah, I voted for Biden. Why? Because I don't like Trump. Well, why? Because Trump said some bad things, and that goes against the Word of God. Okay, so some of the things that Trump said, the Word of God speaks against. I will agree, Okay, but let's talk more about policy. Not what he said in a locker room. Not what he said hanging out with his buddies. That's equally as foolish. But let's talk about policy. And then it breaks down from there. Or they're the single, that single issue voter. Well, because I believe Biden's less racist. Okay. What about everything else? Well, to me, there is nothing else. Okay. You see, Christians, we are going to have to answer to God for all of these things. Oh, here's another thing that I've heard from Christians. This blows my mind too. I voted for this guy over here. Do you know how wicked this guy is? He with all of the nonsense, all of his policies that go against the Word of God. Well, listen, that's my politics. And my politics and my religion are different. I don't bring them together. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You cannot, well, I guess you can try, but you cannot truly put one down for the other. You just can't do it. Because if you do, you'll be at church every Sunday, clapping your hands, dancing to Jesus, amening the loudest when the preacher's preaching good, and you're going to hell. Why? Because you're so divided up that you don't have just, you cannot have, you merely can't have a church life, a political life, a married life, a business life, and think that those don't intersect and aren't all the same because they're in you. They're you. You see, and there's a saying, what you do sometimes, you do all the time. So you'll do that with your quote-unquote religious life. You'll do that with your marriage life, that you'll compromise and go somewhere you shouldn't go because you want to, or because you don't want to disappoint somebody in your family, or you don't want to be called some name by your peer group. It is our obligation as Americans, but an even greater obligation as Christian Americans, to know the candidates, to know their policies, and to vote biblical principles. That's just what we're supposed to do, ladies and gentlemen. Let me get on with the next one. Part two is there an obligation to do more than vote? Goes on, beyond this, I ask every Christian in the United States to consider whether he or she has a higher obligation than merely voting. A similar question could be asked of Christians in other countries. The question is whether someone thinks it is morally right to receive great benefits from a nation, but to give almost nothing in return. The great freedoms that citizens have in the United States came only as a result of great sacrifice on the part of millions of others. The original signers of the Declaration of Independence knew that they were publicly declaring themselves to be guilty of treason against Britain, and they knew they would be subject to the death penalty and to confiscation of their property if the British caught them or defeated them. Nor could they have any great confidence that they would win a war against the most powerful nation on earth at that time. Therefore, the last line in the Declaration of Independence says this, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." You know what, ladies and gentlemen, oh please. So to the Christian that doesn't vote, or doesn't vote correctly, I should say, here's, like I said, some of the things that I hear out of Christians' mouth, why they vote a certain way is because they don't want to be labeled or called a certain name from their peer group. But the original signers of the Declaration of Independence, our forefathers, and the early Americans that fought against Britain knew that they better win or they would all be destroyed and their property taken, their families in disarray completely. They knew it. In other words, they weren't cowards. They weren't worried about what somebody would call them. They weren't worried about their peer group and being accepted anymore with accolades from their peer group. What they were was they were strong. They had backbone. They were brilliant. They were smart. And they took a little bit of time. And that was long before the internet, ladies and gentlemen, long before you can just Google it on your phone. They knew the candidates. They knew policies. They knew who was running. They knew what to stand for, what to vote for, what to fight for. And they knew that if they were ever going to have a real life, a real chance at a real life and a real nation, one nation under God, then they're going to have to lay their lives on the line for that belief. And they did. One of the things that just so bothers me is the cowardice in the American church. And please, don't anybody write me some, "It's not there. We're all courageous." Let me just ask you one thing. When COVID came around, this fake disease, and the government told churches to shut their doors, did your church shut down? Did your church close its doors? Or did you remain open and defy that tyranny? Good way to know is if your church shut down, you're being led by a coward. Is this the truth? I was thinking of this just the other day because I got word that somebody that I know in the community, great guy, had passed away. It didn't say how. He wasn't super old, so it wasn't like some old guy like in his 90s or something like that. And I don't even consider that really old. But he wasn't, you know, it was just before time, all right? And the thought went through my head. It went through my head. Now, I don't know this. This is just my thought. This is my thinking. So I'm just putting this out there that I don't know for sure what he passed away from. It's just this is my thought and my thinking. I said, I wonder if he took the jab. Because we know that so many people have been dying because of the jab. You know, of cancers, blood clots, stroke, heart attacks and heart issues, especially. And as a matter of fact, I personally don't know. I've heard of people, but I don't know anyone that's supposedly passed away from COVID. But I know a lot of people that passed away shortly after having a COVID jab. And I just was wondering if he was one of them. And then it got me to thinking, I felt like sitting down and writing a letter to all the pastors in my area that had closed their churches. And some of them even, you know, labeled me as somebody that wanted to see old people dead because I'd refused to shut down my church. And that I was rebellious and I was, you know, all these terrible things. I was tempted to sit down and write a letter to all of them and say, okay, you guys closed down your church. You guys did what the government told you to do. You pushed the jab. Some of the churches out here opened their doors to the church and had vaccine clinics, of all things, to a jab that now is killing people. While they're telling me I'm going to kill people because I kept my doors open. Oy. Anyways, I felt like writing a letter to all of them and saying, okay, you guys closed down your churches. You got the jab yourself. You pushed your people to get the jab. And now your people are dying because of the jab. I don't know how, ladies and gentlemen, honestly, I don't know how that one can still be preaching in the Church of Christ. I don't know how that one can still stand behind the pulpit and even for a moment act like they truly care or they know what they're talking about. I don't know. I don't know how that level of cowardice is accepted in the pulpit, and yet we see it everywhere. We see it everywhere. And back to this, back to this book, having this obligation to do more than just vote, but to know and understand and be educated and push truth. Push truth, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, from the pulpit, but also in our own lives, in our own daily lives, and in the voting box. Push truth. And that truth seems to be so wanting in the body of Christ. It's hard to find truth. You find a little nugget here and a little nugget there, but solid truth that makes people free? It's almost impossible to find anymore, ladies and gentlemen, because truth makes you free, and that freedom leads to courage to stand against tyranny and anything that destroys freedom, thus truth. And we see so many cowardly and ill-informed in our pulpits today that there's absolutely no way they can be walking in truth because they don't have freedom themselves, and the freedom that leads to courage is lacking, so they cannot really have truth. Do you see how that works, ladies and gentlemen? Anyways, let me finish reading this section. It says, independence from Britain did not come cheaply. In the War of Independence, approximately 4,500 Americans died. Later wars were even more costly. In the Civil War, although the nation was preserved as a union, 550,000 Americans died. Approximately 116,000 died in World War I, 405,000 in World War II, 36,000 in the Korean War, and 58,000 in the Vietnam War. Just over 4,000 died in the Iraq War and more than 550 in the Afghanistan War. And that was up to 2008. So up to 2008, 550 in the Afghan War. Many others, equal to or more than those killed, were wounded in those wars. These hundreds of thousands of men and many women as well sacrificed their lives to protect their nation and preserve the freedoms we enjoy today. Is it right that we simply enjoy these freedoms while giving back to our nation nothing in return? Should we not rather give heed to the challenge with which Abraham Lincoln ended his Gettysburg Address in 1863 as he surveyed the battlefield on which more than 6,650 soldiers had died and more than 29,000 were wounded? His challenge in light of their sacrifice was this: it is rather for us to be here dedicated to the great task remaining before us, that from these honored dead we take increased devotion to that cause for which they gave the last full measure of devotion, that we here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, and for the people shall not perish from the earth. If so many have given their very lives to protect and preserve our nation, then do the rest of us who receive such great benefit from these sacrifices not have an obligation to do something more than merely voting? Should we not participate at least at some level in giving money or giving time to support specific candidates and issues, or writing letters or helping to distribute literature, or even running for office or volunteering to serve in the military? Is it not right that all of us at least do something more than merely voting to preserve and protect this nation? And I agree with that. That it's a question or a series of questions, but it's basically the same question. So many gave their lives, so many fought and died and were wounded to preserve this nation and the freedoms that we have. Should we not do something more than just go to the voting box? If they can go lay down their lives, can't we lay down a portion of our life and run for office, or take a few moments out of our week and write some letters, make some phone calls, distribute literature, help with a local candidate whose policies we tend to agree with? Well, of course we can, and of course we should. And every church, I know churches have been, because of the Johnson Amendment, which was totally unconstitutional, have been afraid to talk politics from the pulpit. But churches, again, ladies and gentlemen, how do you know if you're in a church of cowards? Does your church, does your pastor talk politics from the pulpit? If not, you're in a cowardly church, you may want to find another one. If so, then the second question you'd ask, but is he or she talking about the right kind of politics founded in the Bible, the politicians? What bothers me, ladies and gentlemen, I'm just going to be honest with you. What bothers me is when I hear of or see of a political candidate who has wicked policies being invited into a church, and not just because they're having some debate or forum, but they agree with that wicked candidate. That bothers me. You know, the candidate, usually with a D next to his name. No, not dummy. Well, okay, maybe. But Democrat, whose policies include abortion, wicked, LGBT, wicked, gay marriage and things of that nature, wicked, you know, defund the police, wicked, and all of these crazy things that's destroying our communities, destroying our states, destroying our country. And some dim-witted pastor will invite that dimwit into his church, and they'll all stand up and cheer and applaud when he says those magic little words that tend to get certain groups going. You know, in a poor neighborhood, he'll talk about bringing money into that community to help them out. Building them a community center. It's usually like a rec center for the children to keep the kids off the streets. And they all stand and they applaud. But he would rather abort them while they're still in their mother's womb than build them a community center later. Does that even make sense, ladies and gentlemen? Or here's the new one. Here's the new, I shouldn't say new, but it's used all the time. It's like racist. We're going to end racism. We're going to, because those wascally Republicans, I remember Rush Limbaugh used to say that all the time. Those wascally Republicans are such racist. And they throw that word racist out and everybody stands up and applauds. Yeah, we're going to end racism. Yeah. Now it's words such as xenophobe. And every time I hear that word xenophobe, I think of the movie Aliens, because weren't the aliens called xenomorphs? So xenophobes, that's people who don't like aliens. Killer aliens. Anyway, so xenophobes and transphobe and homophobes, you know, and all of these Christophobes, you know, and that's what they really are. Christophobe, common sense-a-phobe. They all have a phobia of common sense, a phobia of Christian values, even in many churches. That's the clincher, even in many churches. So these Christophobes who sit in church and take the Lord's name in vain week after week after week will bring somebody in that has nothing but anti-biblical policies, and they will applaud them. Now, is that your kind of church? Is that the church you attend? Or do you attend the church that just does nothing at all? Well, no, we're not going to even talk politics. Half the church will go out and vote for dimwits like that. Because you're not teaching them, Pastor. Anyways, let me get off of this. So yes, ladies and gentlemen, each and every one of us as Americans, but especially as Christian Americans, have a duty. This isn't just a suggestion. We have a duty to our nation, and first and foremost to our God, to stand up for righteousness. And part of that is going to the voting box and voting for those candidates that come closest to the biblical principles as possible. And ladies and gentlemen, not that I am some kind of great lover of the Republican Party, but I also am someone with a little bit of common sense. Right now, in the United States of America, there are basically, for the most part, two parties that can get elected. I know other parties have gotten elected, but for the most part, it comes down to Republican, Democrat. Say what you will about either one of those parties. The Democrat Party is completely wicked, completely, totally anti-American, wicked, anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-righteousness, wicked. The Republicans. I have a lot of problems with what the Republican Party has become and what they're doing in many circles in many ways. However, as a party, I'm not talking about each individual or each locale, but as a party as a whole, they are the party closest to the biblical standard that can get elected. There might be other parties, other groups that come closer to the biblical standard, but they're not electable. And if we keep going for them, we're going to kill our vote. We're giving it away and we're giving it to the Democrats. So what do we do? Well, now we still have to be educated. Just don't vote Republican just because, but get motivated and get educated and understand that at least right now, the two most electable parties are the Democrats and the Republicans. The Democrats have gotten so far away from God. As far as I'm concerned, instead of trying to clean them up, we just need to shut that Democrat Party completely down and start fresh and start over with them. As far as the Republicans, there's still a great deal of hope because most true Bible-believing Christians are conservative. All true Bible-believing Christians are conservative and vote Republican. Okay? And so there's still hope because there's still so many of us in there. However, Christian Americans that are part of the Republican Party, we have another duty as well. Clean up the Republican Party and get it back, fully back to the biblical standard completely. Get these rhinos out of there, out of the party completely. Get all of these ones that would rather, you know, that they're just in it for certain things. Like, I'm a fiscal conservative, but a social moderate. No, that's called being a rhino. That's called compromise. And that still is a level of wickedness that we don't want in the Republican Party. So let's get it cleaned up, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, my fellow Republican Christian Americans. Let's get our party clean. Let's do our due diligence. Let's do our work. Get involved beyond mere voting. And let's clean up our nation. Let's clean up our states. Let's clean up our communities by voting correctly and getting involved at every possible level. School boards and different committees and different boards and all of these things that you belong there to bring that Christian Bible-based influence into so righteousness can start to prevail. Are you with me, ladies and gentlemen? Hello, are you with me? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? Come on. Are you with me? Because this is what I've been striving for. This is what I've been pushing for. And even though I took just a little bit of time off after the election, I didn't make it. But don't get me wrong. I'm not super upset about it. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wanted to be in there. So I'm a little upset. But it did not deter me from keeping the push on. I took a little bit of time just to get back to work at the church. We had some things going on that I had to focus on. But now I'm about ready to take another step out there into the community and the political realm. I'm not even going to call it the political realm, more of that cultural societal realm that makes culture and society in a community work or work righteously, work well. And I'm about to step into some things and do some things, which you will know about because I'll bring it to you first and foremost here, ladies and gentlemen. And you're going to work with me, not against me. And we're going to have fun with this. But it is let's do our due diligence. Let's get out there. Number one, what you should do first? Number one, pray. Pray that God lead you, God speak to you, God fill you with His Spirit and motivate you and push you towards righteousness in all of these things. Community, society, culture, politics, voting, your church. Secondly, get educated. What's going on in your immediate community? What's going on in your state? If you're in California, you start looking into some of the politics at the Sacramento, the state level, and it just turns your head and it'll turn your stomach But don't turn away from it just because it's so convoluted and weird. Start getting involved. Start writing letters. Start making phone calls. Start getting involved. How can you change this? Well, at the voting booth. Number one, educating people all around you, not just in your own community, but some of you have platforms on social media that you can touch a lot of people. Start educating them. Use your platform. If you have a podcast, you have a blog, you have a vlog. But not your pet hog. Anyways, but you have any kind of platform that you can educate people. Start educating them and get the truth out there. Let them know what's going on in your state. Now, again, I'm here in California. Some of you are there in Texas. Some of you are, East Coast, New York, New Hampshire, Rhode Island, New Jersey, Florida, the Carolinas, the Virginias. You know, wherever you're at, start educating people and telling them the truth and putting this, you don't have to go fight with them, but putting a demand on them to be educated themselves and not just vote a certain party because that's the way grandma voted, or that's the way mama voted, or that's the way your community voted, or the guys down at the bar vote. That's the way the drunks at the bar, can you imagine, you know, stop. Or that's the way, have you noticed? This is just a little side note, ladies and gentlemen, just sparked something in my pea brain. That Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I had a real big problem with him because when Biden and Kamala was running, he came out and endorsed them big time. All right, big time. He kind of spoke to him, did a video with him and endorsed them. And then he went and unendorsed him sort of just recently. Oh, I'm not going to endorse anybody. Well, yeah, keep your mouth shut, Dwayne. I believe he was setting that up for some type of position or he was going to run and he wanted to be what he felt was on the winning side. And he realized he was really on the losing side, you know, which tells you he's not ready for politics if he's that much of a bonehead. Just stick to acting. He's not a very good actor either. So stick to whatever you're doing. But isn't it interesting that even he was like, oh, yeah, I made a mistake. Yeah, you made a mistake. Anybody and everybody that's been supporting that wickedness made a huge mistake. Anyways, that was just in my brain. But we have so much that we can do, and we can move this nation towards righteousness. And ladies, it's our duty. Let's do it. Before I start really, I'm really holding back a lot of my own personal frustrations in the hope that I'm saying something that'll trigger something in you to go out and do the right thing. And that's my hope. That we would all just go out and do the right thing, that we would get educated on these things. And as a matter of fact, one of the reasons why I started this podcast is because I started to get educated on some of these things. And I started seeing a whole new world and a whole new way of looking at things that I didn't know. And I got to get this word out the best as I can. You know, so I hope I'm doing a pretty decent job and just waking people up to the reality of that, hey, it's available. Get on that little device you have in your hand, your smartphone, and Google some of these things. Find out what's going on in your own community. Find out what's going on in your state and what's going on in the nation. And find out the biblical principles. Does that candidate and are those policies lining up with God's word, or do I vote for somebody else? And if it's got a little D next to their name, most likely you need to vote for, no, not most likely, you need to vote for somebody else. Anyways, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave you. Got to go, got to run, got to go empty my truck, got to go take care of some business, and I hope to see you all very soon. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us at Table Flippers. Please email me at gwccrobert@gmail.com. gwccrobert@gmail.com. Now go out and have a table flipping day.
Oh, brother. How cheesy.
Should I have said have a chipalicious day?
Chipalicious. Now you're talking.
Say goodbye, Chippy.
Say goodbye.